Welcome back to Everybody Loves, Everybody Loves Raymond, everyone. We have completed season 3 of the show, and we are looking forward to season 4. This is our famous tradition of the bridge episode in between, and we're very happy to be joined by you. My name is Mike. What am I on now? Am I still on G? Am I on H?
Did you make it to F?
You're on H because you died and went to hell.
Oh, that's right. I'm Mike Hell now. That's right. My name is Mike H. I'm joined by my co-hosts Adam Rudy and Alex Gier.
Hello.
Hi. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Not only have we not recorded, or rather, not only have we not had an episode in the last few weeks, we also have not seen each other in the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's been a bit.
So it's nice to get back with you boys.
Yeah. It's nice to be back in this liminal space that isn't the fictional show that we do.
But it's also not the reality.
It's not real
that
life.
We agree to, you know, hide from all of you.
Yeah.
This is my favorite place to see both of you in this.
It's very comfortable.
Purgatory.
This
so
white
quiet
space, this white void.
It's wet but cold. Sort of like
the voices in my head can't find me here. It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that hallway on the way to the principal's office.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, remember that episode of SpongeBob where Squidward ends up in the middle of nowhere and he says hello and the letters of hello stick in his face. That's
and he like runs off.
That's
the
where
screen
we are right
now. Up on the other side of the screen. Yeah.
We finished season 3, guys. We finished season
3. We did.
Yay. We are a third of the way done with this show.
It only took us one calendar year, but we did it.
Well, this is our second anniversary, isn't it?
That's basically right.
We started this show in 2022.
Yeah, and we appreciate everybody that's listening right now who has stuck with us or who has clicked on this episode and said, I'll check these guys out. I'm going to warn you. None of our other episodes are kind of like this. You're kind of in for a bit more of a ride if you go to any other episode, but we appreciate you listening all the same.
No, this is just for our honeys who know us.
Our honeys?
That's our fans. So our male identifying fans are
the hunos.
Our grandsons.
Oh, okay.
And our
feminine?
Yes. Our feminine, identifying fans, our honeys.
I don't like that.
No,
I don't like,
maybe we should.
I don't like splitting them. Like, can everyone just be a honey?
Okay, we'll put it in the poll function of this episode on Spotify. Just let us know how many of you feel like grandsons and how many of you feel like honeys, and
or
that's
how many of us, or how many of you just feel like barones.
Deep. Maybe for the people who aren't grandsons or honeys, we should just briefly explain what the show is, because this is going to be at the top of the feed for
That's
a while.
True. That's true.
Well, okay, it's been a while since we've described the show, so much so that the show has drastically changed since the last time we described what the show is.
Mm-hmm.
We're an improv comedy podcast that uses the episodes of the hit sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond as a jumping off point, while simultaneously discussing the events of the episode while going through antics that are inspired by them.
Yeah, it's kind of like a cross between a long-form improv scene and a TV review podcast. That was a very concise way of saying it, Alex. I'm impressed.
Thanks. And, you know, it's beautiful because we managed to piss off both the improv fans and the TV rewatch fans.
That's not true.
All
no
at
one
once.
Has ever criticized our improv, even when they should have.
This last episode was very special to me. Do you know why?
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Because the first real hate comment we got, because we've had people write us feedback that's just like, you know, these guys aren't funny, which is not a hate comment. It's just someone voicing their opinion. The first comment that I read that was someone actively angry at our podcast was the first episode that we did. We were talking about, because there was a mention of how long Ray and Deborah had been dating, and one of us said something to the effect of, I wonder how Ray and Deborah met. And the comment went on like a whole tirade.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
One of the lines in it was, these guys don't even know how Ray and Deborah met. Are they even fans? And we didn't know how they met. I had seen the show before. I just totally forgot in the moment. And I still forgot until this episode, this last episode of the season, and we finally got our answer.
And now, angry commenter, because we know you've been listening, because you've been waiting. Yes. We figured it out.
You were right. We should have known that probably 2 years ago when we started, but also...
Should we tell them? The only reason we picked Everybody Loves Raymond was for the name of the podcast. And it was Adam's idea.
This is all Adam's fault, is the moral of the story. Well, no, the reason we chose this... Is that the only reason? The reason we chose this was because Alex and I originally came from Lynbrook. And which is a real town in Long Island, or on Long Island, I'm sorry, to all the Billy fans out there. It's a real town that we actually grew up in. And Adam, I guess, just liked the show and he was like, haha, we should do it.
The idea of us originally being from Lynbrook was originally going to be a much bigger deal than it actually ended up being.
Yeah, I don't know why we thought that was going to be a big thing.
Interesting.
Like, it's cool to me. Is it? I mean, love Lynbrook. It's cool. It's a comfortable town.
It's cool to us because, like, I can describe my hometown to anyone that's like, Lynbrook, where's that? I can be like, you remember the show Everybody Loves Raymond? But it's not like they show the streets of Lynbrook. I can't say, oh, there's
actually... usually show the streets of Queens.
Yeah, exactly. I can't exactly be like, oh, that's Catalpa. There should be a Walgreens there. There's nothing on Catalpa. But
there's everything on Catalpa.
In the fictional verse of Lynbrook, there is nothing that you need that cannot be found on Catalpa Avenue. In the real life, there's like four old ladies and a dog. That's about it.
You know, it's funny just because, like, I don't know, to be sentimental for a second, like, we have people that listen to us, and I think that's really special. Mm-hmm. You know, we're a small show, which means we just love each and every one of you more, you know?
Yeah, we're a small show. We're doing an incredibly specific thing, and we appreciate anybody who listens. We understand why our audience shrunk from the beginning of the season to the end of the season. But we're hopeful that we can find more people who like what we're trying to do.
I really Absolutely. Don't know if our client base has shrunk. I think we grew in the ones that we care about.
Yes, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Our listenership shrunk for a little bit, but it's only going up now.
Yeah.
So I think we're reaching the people that we want to reach. Buy low, sell high. Yeah. So if you bought stock in this podcast, stick with us.
You're
gonna get that boat. Don't worry.
You're gonna have to wait for those dividends for a little while longer, though.
And when the shareholders meeting happens, please don't vote us out of the board. We really need this.
I mean,
my wife is gonna kick me out of the house. Don't do this.
Not
to me.
Again. You know, like, as we progress, right, the show has changed literally so much in the last 2 years.
Which might be why we lose people.
Yeah, episode one to episode whatever this one was, this last one.
74.
We're literally, I think every episode we're getting closer to a show that the three of us, like, love even more every time.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're kind of like, we're almost like rebuilding the foundation now and again to create a show that we enjoy doing as much as possible so that we can keep doing this forever. And then we'll, you know, start reaching people that like this stuff. Cause, you know, it's the old saying of do what you love and the people who love it too will find you, instead of, you know, trying to be something you're not. Yeah. And
it's a long one. Goodness. Hard to fit on, like, a pillow, but it is an old saying.
Yeah. Those first couple episodes are special and they were fun. But, like, doing like that type of dissection for the next 4 years sounds like an actual hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's kind of why we're all improvisers to different degrees, but to some degree, we're all improv comedians. And we just were going nuts in the first season. It was, don't get me wrong, great. We had some very strong moments.
But it bled in without us trying.
Yeah. We also, I will say, had an in. I think about this all the time. We had an in to make an actually like interesting Everybody Loves Raymond podcast. We interviewed Steve Scroven, who was willing to put us in contact with other writers and producers of Everybody Loves Raymond. This show could have become like an actual interesting deep dive into the show Everybody Loves Raymond. And instead we were just like, now let's blow up the Impractical Jokers.
Look, in 17 episodes, we accomplished more than we ever thought we could. And then we were just like, let's do something else now.
Yeah, we were following the fun.
I can't believe that happened.
Yeah, we went from having a Zoom call with somebody who has his Emmys behind him on his Zoom background.
I got my Lego Infinity Gauntlet. That's kind of like an Emmy. It's golden.
Kind of. Did you win that or... Did you have to make it yourself?
No, I bought it.
You bought it assembled?
No. I had to assemble it.
Okay.
So that's kind of like an Emmy, right?
Nobody's making their own Emmys.
There's nothing sadder than buying a Lego that's already assembled.
I could probably buy it.
That's a very Mike H. thing, to buy a Lego that's already assembled.
That's what hell is. Kind of
time? What are we talking about here? Come on.
No, I think you're right. We could have done it if we wanted to do that kind of show, and we just don't.
We tried.
This is why.
And we literally couldn't.
You know, we get negative comments about the show saying essentially this show is not about Everybody Loves Raymond. And that's not going to change our approach to the show because we're not trying to do an Everybody Loves Raymond rewatch podcast. We're trying to do an improv podcast and having a lot of fun doing it.
I was just going to say, Alex was very, very smart in the art for this season. I like that in the small letters at the bottom, you wrote, it's not really about the show. Reference to Raymond's, it's not really about the kids. It's a great...
I think that was Adam's idea.
Great little line. Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
It was my idea to put it on the art.
Okay, well... I'll take that part
Please,
of the credit.
Take your credit. You deserve more than Mike.
Thanks.
That's correct.
I also got to start working on the season 4 artwork.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I love the season 3 artwork. I think it's beautiful. And if we weren't changing the show's name, which is what we'll talk about next.
What? This is news to me. Oh, my God.
Yeah, shut up.
Why would we do this?
Then I would honestly suggest we keep it.
This is news to us. I'm going to say it again in case it This up. Is news to like us. Is this Joe Rogan?
This is not my idea.
That's true. I don't know why I'm pretending it's not mine.
Adam was the one. This is all Adam. No. And like he makes a compelling point, and I actually agree with him on this. I think this is a smart move. But it's not my idea.
No. But did you guys know that if you put the name of something else in the name of your thing, it makes it impossible, especially when two of the words that you add are the same as two of the words that are already in the name of the thing that you're putting in the name of your thing, it makes it impossible to search for. So this is partially about search engine optimization, as I pitched it to you guys. And it's also about, you know, making clear that the focus of this show is not celebrating the, you know, minutiae of Everybody Loves Raymond, but
it's more that
it's transformative.
That Raymond is the inspiration.
Yes.
And I think the new name echoes that well. It alludes to the show and Raymond, but it's also ours, you know?
Yeah.
And it's something that I think can live on past the show itself.
Yeah, it's... I like what I like about... So I guess we'll reveal it then. We're changing the name. I'm not going to put in a drum roll.
Oh, come on. Short.
Maybe a rim shot at the end.
This is all... I mean, but they also should know this. Because in like, you know, in another 2-3 weeks, whatever, when the name on Spotify changes, they're not going to be like, what the hell happened? We should, yeah, we'll tell them.
Yeah, no, it's important that you know that we are changing the name of the show from Everybody Loves Raymond to The Barone Zone. Yep, rim shot.
I just heard a bunch of people go, oh, okay.
All right, fine. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's an obvious choice, right? Like, that was like our first bit, and it's kind of stuck with us.
It's the handle on all of our social media accounts.
Yeah, it was kind of like we were planning this from the beginning, but I assure you, none of this was planned.
What a weird and stupid con to go 2 years with one name, but knowing the whole time.
Oh, these guys
people are going to freak when we switch the name on them.
Their minds are going to be blown, man. It's going to be great. Guys, I like the name. I like that it's being a, that it's kind of like starting off a new era of the show. I think it's great. But I'm
and we are going on tour.
We are going on tour to Adam's house and then to Alex's house. And you guys are not allowed to enter my property.
Yeah, we'll be on the sidewalk like Scientology filming Mike with camcorders outside of his house.
Yeah, but it makes me think about all of the different kinds of things that we had with the old name. What were your favorite moments? I guess let's focus on season three because that's the one that's most recent. What were your favorite moments from season three?
Cowboy Kyle.
I did love Cowboy Kyle. I like those the first. Kyle bit?
No, not Cowboy Kyle. Sheriff Tony.
Sheriff Tony. Yeah.
Those first like 8 episodes of this season are bangers. Nuts.
Yeah.
They're bangers and they're nuts. Because we were trying this new format where we intersperse. We've never literally explained the format to people is that we intersperse chunks of episode discussion in an improvised narrative. That's it. That's all that we do. We're telling the story of making the podcast instead of making the podcast. But those first episodes of this season when we're figuring that out are nuts, including Sheriff Tony.
Sheriff Tony. I loved the auction scene.
Was great.
That like, I loved the episodes where we just had like a whole just like event that happened from start to finish. The auction, ping pong.
Mm-hmm. Ping pong was fun.
Our season finale.
We met Kingfish.
I think my favorite episode of the whole series actually, I think was the house party in town.
Really.
Hall.
That was
I loved that episode so much, and I wasn't in it.
You were in it.
My characters were in it.
Yes.
But Alex,
you know, the Alex character was just not in it for basically the whole thing. But it was just so fun for me because I got to be a million different people.
You're often like the straight man in this show, and I think
especially season three because I was like the pseudo.
You're the authority focus. Figure. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was not not comfortable for me, might I say. I'm not used to being a figure of authority or anyone to look up to. You know?
You're not used to being a stabilizing influence.
No, I like being a little chaotic.
It's surprising to me that is your favorite because that is the longest, I think that's the longest episode of this season. That's like 2 hours and 12 minutes long.
Wow.
Which some might say is too long, but I'm glad to know that you like it enough that it flies by.
For me, it didn't feel like that. It felt like we blasted through that so quick.
That's where we learned that Mike went to Sarah Lawrence College in the 80s.
Oh, and then I said that joke about forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Forgetting Sarah Lawrence.
Probably one of my favorite jokes.
Great title. Did.
Anytime I make Adam laugh, it resonates in my mind. It's like, remember Alex, that joke? It was a good one.
Yeah, that's true. I am like the Jimmy Fallon of the group. I break at anything. Adam is very good at staying very stoic until a really good joke crosses. When Adam laughs, it does make me happy.
Aw, that's nice. I don't think of you as a Jimmy Fallon pretends to laugh. You're not encouraging.
No,
you just have a low threshold.
I just enjoy things. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You just love life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's good. We need that. Otherwise, like, with the three dudes not laughing, we need one who laughs. Mm-hmm.
We need the audience to know that this is supposed to be funny, not just weird.
We should follow from the Big Bang Theory, and every 4 seconds, after every line, we play the laugh track. That way they know you laugh here.
You know how hard it is to find a good laugh track sound effect for free?
Very hard.
It's very difficult.
You've looked it up?
I have looked it up because we've needed crowd noise at various times. And there's not a lot of good ones out there.
That does.
I did get a free trial. you'll notice maybe you can pick this up if you're an eagle-eared listener, like episode 19 of this past season, I got a free trial to this like premium sound effects library. Yeah, things take off a little bit.
Excellent. There you go. That's how you know. I will say that Alex in particular, like he's always been very funny, but this season really came into his own as an improviser. The bit with the old lady smoking camels got me like nothing else. I know it was very recent, but it's still the...
That was like, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah. What was it? The line was like, I'm smoking a cigarette. I'm like, hey, you want a camel? No, I want a cigarette. I don't know why. That fucking got me.
Alex is really good at those like vaudeville repartee kind of things.
I've noticed I've really been doing those a lot lately, and I love them.
Yeah, they're great.
That's really something that makes me break. I think you probably have noticed that anytime you whip
out
one of those.
That's why I keep doing them.
Yeah.
I think my favorite episode this season was absolutely the one that I was not here for, that I couldn't make the recording session for. So you got Schneider.
Oh, where you died.
And oh my God, what a great show. What was Schneider's character, the hot dog guy?
Little Mike.
Little Mike. That's right. I forgot about Little Mike. Oh, what a great character. I wish he did not die. Because Little Mike would have been a recurring character.
Yeah, every time he came back on. Vaporized by God. You did the next recording before we started. You had to tell me how thrilled you were when I said that God didn't notice that you died.
That's such a great line.
That's such a great
roasts.
Encapsulation of your character on this show.
So hard, and yet God doesn't notice. Oh, what a great line. What a great line. There have been a couple great roasts that we've had to each other. I've roasted you, Adam, so many times on this podcast.
I appreciate the characterization of me as this sort of NPR
liberal
hipster. Which is only, I don't listen to NPR. I've said this, I think, on the Baroness. I don't listen to NPR. I read NPR.org. So, like,
which
I just want to be
worse.
Clear.
Because it's reading.
But then I can see what Simon says at any time. You have to know, that's a kind of a deeper NPR.org cut.
Deep are you into the NPR fandom?
honestly, not too deep. Like, you know, when you're only reading it, you don't develop sort of the like parasocial bond that you do if you're listening to Fresh Air or, you know, Planet Money. Or there was something in this season where you said or I said that our listeners love Planet Money. And so they're intimately familiar with Wait, Don't Tell Me, which I found very funny.
That is a good one.
So, yeah, I do. I think the characterization of me is very funny.
Just the kind of guy that looks like he gentrified Williamsburg. Yeah.
Single-handedly.
But yeah, you got me back with that one. So Alex has weirdly gotten by unscathed. It's really
there's nothing to criticize Alex about.
I think because I played myself as just such an undeniable douchebag that there wasn't much you guys could do to me
that's true.
I wasn't already doing to myself.
Yeah.
Like season two, you guys got me with like the sex stuff. I don't remember the details. I just remember that I had some sort of orgy.
Yeah.
That went away for season 3.
Orgy at the Christian
three.
Men's Center, yeah.
That's right.
Well, you were a public figure. You had to keep it a little more down low.
Absolutely.
Down low.
I'll never forget that one episode I was absent for, and I went on a walk early in the morning to listen to it to prepare for the next episode. And then I just got home and I just sat down. I was like, all right, how do I turn this around? And I wrote like
you certainly
three
tried.
Paragraphs to try and fix it.
That was funny that season when you tried to justify. That's what a lot of, if you're not familiar with the principles of improv, a lot of it is about justification. And Alex was really trying to justify why we said he was having an orgy at the celibacy meeting at the Limburg Christian Men's Center.
Yeah, no, tried to bring in some more context. But no, I really liked the weird turn my guy took. I liked that I had like one role to fill for the whole season. Mm-hmm. It kind of gave me a little bit of a staple. I liked that you guys, for at least like half the season, had weekly jobs.
Yeah, that kind of dropped off. That kind of
went away as, you know, the season rounded out.
We started, I think, because we started doing things together and we're not trying to, because I think the reason we had started that was so that we could have like A story, B story, C story, but we kind of just ended up starting to do everything together.
Yeah.
So. Which I didn't mind.
Yeah,
one thing I
was season where we had there was like an Ireland festival in the Midwest, and I was left behind with dogs or something like that.
I honestly don't remember.
That would have been the season.
What you're describing as an Ireland festival is our Bloody Sunday themed drag show in Milwaukee. Oh, yeah.
I block out that episode.
Yeah. And you were left behind. And you were not watching a dog. You were waiting behind for a package, and then you were mistaken for a dog named Douglas.
Yes, that's right. You have a near encyclopedic memory of this show, Adam. And I
spend a lot longer with the episodes than you do. You finish, and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
And I spend a couple more hours with them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There you go.
I would say my favorite, weirdly enough, despite all of the crazy stuff that we've done, the thing that I keep thinking, because I was thinking about like what my favorite moment from the season was, is something that happened last episode. I don't know why this makes me laugh so much, but I misspoke. I was asking for water, and I misspoke, and I said, we'll take Dasani or Aquafini, and Mike, without missing a beat, was just like, we got Aquafini. And for some reason, despite all of the other crazy stuff that's happened and very legitimately very funny stuff, every time I think about that, it's just very funny to me. I don't know why.
All right, canonically in this universe now, it's Aquafini.
It has to be Aquafini, yeah.
Yeah. The funniest thing is I completely forgot that happened. That's such a...
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I forgot that too,
it's very
actually.
Quick because like, I'm kind of talking over you, correcting myself, but you say that and I just... I can hear myself laughing at it.
No, one thing I didn't love this season compared to season two is season two, we really built up the finale. Like right from episode one, you knew where it was going to end with this election, mm-hmm. and this like big question that was going to be answered at the end. And that was really fun to toy around with. Felt like each episode, each like little thing we were doing was leading somewhere.
Yeah.
And season three, at least for me, you guys can correct, you guys can tell me that you felt differently, but it felt like the finale kind of just snuck up on us.
Yeah, for sure.
And like, obviously, like we knew we wanted to stop the mayoral thing after this season because it's almost like a tradition at this point, right? Each season has its own like stage that we kind of like transfer mm-hmm. out of. And do something else. And we have our stage for season four set already. We know what we're going to do. We didn't really set the stage like we did in season two.
Yeah.
But I think our idea is really good. I just,
hope so.
I don't know. I missed like having like that big event to talk about.
Yeah.
Like, something big's coming, you know?
It's interesting because go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to say, if you think about it, this season models the season of Everybody Loves Raymond a lot more closely. It's
absolutely.
Very segmented. It's all, you know,
it's this episodic episode. Instead episodic. Of serialized.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll think about that.
So we talked about each other's favorite characters this season. What was the favorite character that you played this season?
Oh.
Toot your own
You've
horn.
Got like James Lipton questions now. You've got like, you know, like inside the actor's studio kind of. Do you want to speak to one of our characters?
No thanks.
No, because like I know for sure the voices change.
The accent
so much
will switch
in the episodes. There's no way we're nailing it now. No way in hell.
Yeah, let's acknowledge that none of us can sustain an accent for. Actually, Mike, you're pretty good at it.
I am. Oh, okay.
Alex, I think you change your pitch more than you try to do an accent or like your vocal affect, and so you can be more consistent. I will. own up to the fact that if you listen to any given episode, I will start a character with one accent and then either completely drop it or change it entirely by the end of the following sentence. A lot of people who started Southern and then ending up like me.
Yes, I've noticed that too, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My favorite character that I played from this season, it might be Gerald.
Who's Gerald? Remind me.
He's accompanied by a group of six men who hoist his giant penis.
I forgot about
so that
Gerald.
He can walk around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he tragically killed his right-hand man, Juan, in the ping pong episode.
That's right.
Yeah, that's probably the character that sticks out the most for me.
That's you know what? That's a good choice. That's a great that
That's
was
a beautiful
great,
one.
That was a fun one.
I like how you always forget who he is, and then when, like in the ping pong one, you had no idea who I was talking about, and then when I mentioned the ball bearers, you sort of it clicked and you just lost it. It was very fun.
Alex, how about you?
I think I remember the character. I think his name was Sad Randy.
Oh, is that in the house party one?
Yeah, that was in the house party episode.
I remember that.
He was the guy who was always really freaking sad, and anything you, whenever you said like Sad Randy, he'd just cry.
Oh yeah, because one of the things that made him sad was his nickname, Sad Randy.
Yeah.
Did we have another guy that was a different Randy, or it was
there were many
Sandy
Randys
or something?
I think there was
Hot Randy,
Hot Randy,
Mean Randy.
Yeah.
Cool
Randy. Wasn't it? I think it was like Hot Randy and like, I don't think it was Ugly Randy.
No, so there was the one Randy who was bullying Sad Randy. And then at the end, the blowing up the town hall. You got to listen back to the episodes. Blowing up the town hall turned Sad Randy into Hot Randy. Sort of like Squidward, another SpongeBob touch point. Sort of like Squidward getting hit in the face with the door and then he's hot. Yeah, that's what I was picturing in that scene.
Yeah, I loved that character.
That episode. That makes
really
me
did.
Very happy that you like you
that
know
song.
Found such joy in it.
That was a great one. I also, of course, Kingfish.
Kingfish, yeah, that's what I would have said.
Yeah, Kingfish was great.
I don't know why that specifically is so memorable.
It just because it came out of nowhere.
It came out of fucking nowhere.
He just left to nowhere, too. I think his first appearance, he jumped into a glass of water. And I don't remember what happened in the ping pong one.
I remember the only thing I remember about the first instance of Kingfish was we were like, we need a character for the Baroness, for the barometer. And Alex was just like, I'm Kingfish. And Adam was like, who are you? Where are you coming from? And Alex refused to answer any reasonable question. He was just like, so why are you here, Kingfish? I'm Kingfish, was the only possible response.
Yeah.
That's good times.
Yeah. That and Pasta Man was another character refused to answer any of my questions.
Yeah. Oh my God, I love Pasta Man. I want to do more of those characters that have no explanation. I love that.
Yeah.
That's fun.
I think
sometimes like in the middle of the show, when like you guys are going at it, talking back and forth about something stupid, I'll get distracted and think, Pasta Man. And I'm like, all right, he's coming later.
An insight into Alex's skull. That's great.
Yes.
Mike.
I think my favorite character, I forget what episode it was, but Chad.
Buffering?
Yeah, Chad Buffering. Yeah, that's right.
The son of Ray Barrezos?
Yes, that's, yeah,
CEO of Ramazon?
Yeah, I just really like
him. We're so funny.
And that was a great episode.
That's a good one,
like,
Mike.
He murdered people, right? And he died at the end.
He turned everybody into tofu and then,
that's right. Yeah, that was my favorite character to play because of the voice. That was a fun one.
The thing with the characters showing up for the barometer, I think, went for that first half of the season until the ping pong episode when we brought a bunch of them back. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I have to upload the barometer scores to the website, postfund.org/barometer. And I don't know how I'm going to account for those. I'd welcome any ideas. Feel free to shoot it to raymond@postfund.org. Like, should I add a fifth column for character scores? Because what wasn't maybe, I mean, it was probably obvious from the ridiculousness of the scores that the characters would give, but those were, we like purposefully chose extremes to like heighten.
Make it funny.
Yeah, make it funny. Mm-hmm. So that fucked up the average.
Big time.
Yeah, it
did. The Bateses are going to be so mad at us about that.
Adam, I'm looking at the first two seasons now, and they are beautiful.
Yeah, data wrapper.
Wow. The lowest score I gave Ray was a 2. Mm-hmm. Mike, the lowest score you gave was, I think, a 3? Wow. Oh, no, a 2.5. Adam, your lowest score was a 1.
Yeah. You've famously been saving your 1.
Yeah, I have been saving my 1, and no one's given him a 10 yet.
Do you know when you're going to use it?
No, actually, I'm not entirely sure, but I promise I will use the 10 before this show ends.
Oh.
When he earns it.
I will say, there is one episode of Raymond really messing up that is like a huge point of contention that's posted at least once a day on the Everybody Loves Raymond subreddit.
You gotta get off that thing.
No, you can't make me. I argue with people so much. It's great.
Yeah, that place is not a good place.
Reddit is nuts. Is a bad place, period.
They're horny and mad.
They are. They are.
Just in the subreddit. The rest of Reddit is famously fine. So you're good there.
Yes. Very healthy communities.
True.
Healthy communities. That's what we hope to build here, is sort of a healthy community of people who are enjoying going on this journey with us and following our adventures. And we would love to, really, really, really would love to hear from anybody who, you know, has been with us maybe since the beginning, maybe, you know, you're new to the show, you know, reach out, get in touch. We are at Barone Zone on Facebook, and we are at Barone.zone on Instagram and Threads. So, you know, if you're feeling like this show has brought you any modicum of joy the way it has us, then please reach out and let us know, because we
love
to
hear
from you.
Absolutely. I also want to say, to end on a positive note, that this show has connected us with some wonderful comedians and improvers from all around the world, mostly Chicago.
That's true. And has
helped expand our network.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've heard the Post Fun sister show. Is it? I guess it's technically just a Post Fun show.
It is.
Grease, Wind, and Fire. But they are another improv group, and they just started, and we are their friends.
Yeah.
So
that's a great plug for With Grease, Wind, and Fire. You can find it on any podcast platform. It's just, it's an improv podcast.
They're
like
very
this.
Funny.
It's not about a sitcom, so it's a completely different.
It's not going to piss off a subreddit.
Yeah. They probably were smarter about that and avoiding the death threats, but you know, go send them a death threat.
All right, so I guess, you know, any final reflections about the episode before we, or the about the season, about the past 2 years, about the changes that are coming before we sign off here?
No, just like this has been a fun way to keep the three of us in touch, obviously, but also it's kind of fun to see, kind of almost be like a documentation of like how life has grown and changed since we began. I don't know, I like it, it's kind of cool.
Alex, any final thoughts?
No, I'm having fun, and I'm happy to share this journey with you too, and I'm looking forward to another lovely 6 seasons of Everybody Loves Raymond, where we will continue to evolve until the 9th season is just gibberish, just like static for 2 hours.
It'll be one long, high-pitched tone. For the length will be the same, though. We have a lot of trouble keeping it under 2 hours, so...
Oh, yeah, that's also what we're going to try. We're going to try to shorten this a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, hour and a half.
All right, cool. So we will be back as the Barone Zone on May 9th. That's Thursday, May 9th, 2024. So mark your calendars. And, yeah, please, like, get a paper calendar maybe preferably like something sexy. I mean, Mike, that you way did
Bezos
do.
Can't see it.
Well, you and Bezos, you did that calendar, right?
We did the calendar. Yeah, it's that he used some very embarrassing pictures that I did not think he was gonna use, but I've been proven wrong. So hey, what do I know?
I think I will say that May. I heard that they're going through and ripping it out just because it violates some sort of law.
Yep. Yeah. I've
the sexy that. Law. Am I right?
Yeah. So mark your calendars for May 9th. We'll be back with season 4 of The Barone Zone, talking about season 4, episode 1 of Everybody Loves Raymond. And until then, I guess the last thing to say is our classic sign off, right, fellas?
Absolutely. Everybody
loves
Raymond,
and we love you.